Oh.
Take it off.
Naked radio comes your way.
Except for the hat. Stays on. You can leave your hat on. Is it cold in here?
No, it's a little cold.
To see you, Heidi. Ow!
Oh, Joe Cocker, thank you.
Yeah. And this video is really great, but okay, I guess we'll have to
I guess we're kind of done now.
Yeah. Sultry.
Hey, hello. Hi, everybody. Well, welcome to the Klatch. We had a brainstorm and thought we might have some fun today and do some naked radio.
Drop some trowel.
And I don't know why nobody's at the window. I advertised it, but nobody.
Maybe that is why nobody's at the window.
Yeah, well, if you're in Vashon Town, come on down. And we're doing a little naked radio today in honor of the fact, I don't know why, but in honor of the fact that Heidi's leaving.
Well, because Heidi is our bawdiest pal.
Raw.
And Heidi always brings us the bawdy laughs. So
yeah, she does.
What she's done is taught us to take permission to say what comes through the
That's
mind.
True.
Yes, please. Just there's seven words you can't. Otherwise, go for it.
Yeah, right.
I should say you're listening to The Klatch on 101.9 KVSH in Vashon, Washington.
Yay.
Woo-hoo. And we are gathered here at the table, and we hope that you can gather at the table, too. We are the show where no holds are barred, and we get to say what we want to say. Today is sort of an auspicious day. I feel good and I feel bad.
Don't feel bad.
Oh, my name is Linda Nygaard.
I was
going to
ask, who the hell are you?
Yeah, who do you think you are?
Well, who are you?
I'm Susan McKay.
Hi, Boom. Susan.
I'm Heidi Skrypek.
Hi, Heidi. Hi, Skrypek.
Woo.
Yeah.
So, today's Heidi's last day, last show for a while.
Last official class.
Official host of class. But she's gonna be available for later on.
I am.
And we'll look forward to that. But Heidi, we're going to really miss you. It's
going
to be really hard to replace you. We have a long list of people who want to come in and help us. So we're going to do sort of temporary hosts.
Hazing.
Co-hosts.
Yes. Trial by fire.
And we have some interesting people already lined up.
Good hot and cold running co-hosts is what we have.
That's what
really?
Have. Yeah. Yeah. It'll be good. So, Heidi, we've counted on you for a lot of stuff.
Yes.
In this particular show.
Yes, you can
and
count on me.
I can count on you always for research and to actually read what we're doing.
Thank you.
And take some time and make some thoughtful comments. I just want to talk for a second about the things that you've brought to the show. I love your wit and your honesty. You've been really available to people. You've mm-hmm. opened your heart. Mm-hmm. You've said things on your mind. You've said some uncomfortable things. You've said some hilarious things.
Thank you.
And you have really added to the mix being here. And I'm going to miss you a lot.
Me too.
But I know where you live.
Yes.
Me too.
I'm so thrilled. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, thank you. It's just been really, really fun. And so we're not going to get all sad right now. We can save that till later.
Okay.
I noticed the fresh eggs down here. Fun and surprising fresh eggs and honey.
And honey.
Honey.
Yes. And education about the bees. I've learned so much about the bees since we started this show.
Linda's first time coming to
the birds and the bees. All right, somebody's looking to see if
somebody's looking. Just wave. Hello. His
show
mouth
us
is
yours.
Open. I'll show you mine. So, yes, thank you for all those fresh eggs. Heidi has queens. For chickens. They're wonderful.
Mm.
They're beautiful and they lay really good eggs.
Thank you.
So how is everybody? Welcome back. Heidi, you were in a far off land.
Yes. Almost 2 weeks. David and I ran away to Costa Rica and mission was to get waves for Dave. Get Dave on a wave.
Oh. And was mission successful?
Totally.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
The first week was really horrible weather. They've been getting unprecedented rains, like
mm-hmm.
really heavy rains, washing out roads.
Oh.
You got to wait for the river to literally recede before mm-hmm. you can get across the road.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been there too. And yes, sometimes you drive across those and you're really not sure how deep it's going to go.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
You don't know if you're going to, it's going to be the duck boat.
The last time I was in Costa Rica was with a friend of mine and I was driving. We had one of those, you rent
four-wheel drive vehicles. Oh, yeah. And we were going through one of those rivers, and she was really nervous.
Oh, yeah.
And she had a bottle of water between her knees. And all of a sudden, I hear her screaming, "Oh, my God, oh, my God, the water's coming in." And what I realized was she was so nervous, she had popped the top off
it was still her bottle
and was drenching herself.
That's so funny. Oh. But
can you imagine you're white-knuckling your steering wheel, and you're just looking at all this water, and then you feel
and
water
you
in
feel
your
it.
Crotch.
Yes, right.
Like, oh, my story. God, it's we're drowning. Yeah, well, let's get into that in just a bit.
Okay.
Whatever you want to talk about, I'll tell you whatever you want to know.
Okay, good. Thank you. Sure. I want to check in with Susan, see what's been going on in your world for the last couple weeks.
I think work, huh?
Work, yeah.
Work, a lot of work.
And surgery, my husband's surgery,
yes.
Which is on the mend. He's getting better. But I've been exercising my writing muscles a lot, which
Have
is
you?
Actually a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
Can I plug my...
Do it.
Sure,
you
must.
I'm publishing on Substack my essays. Some are funny, some are not.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Hot Flashes, Cold Showers.
They're great.
They're all good.
Yes, and thank you. You're welcome to subscribe. It's free now.
Mm-hmm.
And they are pretty quick reads. You know, you think the setup, like they're going to be these super long reads, but then you've sailed through them and it's like, oh, it's over already. I want more.
Yeah,
so
I want more.
That's how I feel when I read them.
I know.
They're great little digests.
Congratulations,
Thank you.
Susan. I'm really glad you decided to do that.
Yeah, now I got to keep writing.
Yeah. Speaking of writing, I've been, for years and years, I'm going to write the book. I'm going to write the book.
Yes.
I'm going to write the book. And I decided... I don't care about the book anymore.
Oh, well, there's that.
I really don't. And, you know, I've got, it's rough, but I really don't care. So I've decided now I'm just going to write little stories in the form of paragraphs. It's just,
there you go.
That's what I'm doing now. And it's just for fun. So,
you know, what's really fun is haiku. Okay, I can see it's only fun for me.
I mean, it is fun. No, I like it.
No, I like figuring out the 575. Or do you do the 575.
Yeah.
All right.
You can start doing it and just go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You can say all kinds of funny things with haiku.
Do you do the carryover though with one thought that bleeds over to the next line, or do you try to keep each thought or image within the five and then the seven, like three things that line up to 575? Because so many, I don't like the haiku that bleeds over into someone using, 10 syllables for the first thought and then they use, whatever, what's it, 17.
Five,
so
seven,
seven
five,
for the
yeah.
other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah, I do.
Kind of?
I
no,
do.
We don't know that.
Well, I don't know what you mean, no.
You know, one of the funniest haikus I ever saw was haiku for Carrie Lake. You know, who just lost the election?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's ha, 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 you lost.
There you
That's
go.
That's great. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad we got a haiku example here before I had to try and make one up.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So
you can do it.
And I'm glad to hear Luke's doing fine. Your husband's... Recuperating.
He is.
Awesome.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's good. Yeah, it's been kind of a hectic couple of weeks.
Yeah. We're calling him Zipper Luke.
What does that mean?
Gotta go.
He's got a 12-inch incision
yes.
in his back that has...
Don't say zipper and 12 inches and man all in one sentence.
Especially
and not
when you're talking
to think about
leaving
his
your
wiener.
Hat on.
He's got a 12-inch what?
What? Zip, 12-inch what?
It's stable.
I was like, whoa, Susan's going to have to give us a lot of information about Luke's surgery. What did he have operated on?
See, that's what that song did in the beginning. It plants a seed.
Nuh-uh, that was her. She did it.
Goodness, yeah.
Bingo! Where's our bell? Yeah, bingo! Sorry.
We're out of control.
Sorry, so, already off the rails.
Yeah, we are.
It's only 9 minutes after three.
Uh-oh. Well... You know, when we first started this show, we've had, and it's all my fault because I think I'm ADHD or something. I don't know. But we started out with a certain format and then pretty little while later, the format changed again. And then it's every show we're going to do this and every show we're going to do that. And I don't think every show we've ever done everything we said we were going to do.
The only thing we've done is a COVID check-in.
Oh, yeah.
On an almost,
yeah,
almost regular.
Well, and we did tidbits almost on a regular.
Yeah, but tidbits are like anything.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, we left it out sometimes, and we left COVID out sometimes, and you know, we change our minds, and
we didn't talk about COVID today.
No,
well, not yet.
Well, we can. You know, it's not good. It's people are ignoring it, and people are still dying. I think to the tune of 140 a day in America right now, which of course isn't as many as it was during the
Delta.
Yeah, but. Wow. And people aren't paying attention, so it's going to go around some more.
This morning I shopped at Thriftway. There were definitely more masks
good.
Being
Yeah,
donned.
I'm noticing that too.
So there's that.
I went to the thrift store early this morning, to Thriftway.
Did you go thrifting?
No.
What'd you buy?
I went thriftwaying, and that is definitely not thrifty.
No, I spent $250
it's
today.
Easy. I spent $90, and I didn't buy anything. I mean, I didn't buy
meals.
Did you
leave with, like, one bag?
Yeah.
Oh, pathetic.
Oh, my God. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, what I'd like to do today, in honor of Heidi leaving, I'd like to put some semblance of order into today's show.
I'm ready.
What?
And first of all, I'd like to talk about tidbits, and I know that you're interested in this particular conversation. There's a Balkan tradition that I found very interesting, and it's ancient old, like, I don't know from where, millennia, people are saying that women in what is now Croatia and Bosnia and Herzegovina have performed this art on each other's bodies as in tattoo form for millennia. And it is a mixture. They used to use a mixture of soot and spit and honey and breast milk.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating.
It is fascinating. And they put these tattoos on their hands, chests, and sometimes foreheads with deeply symbolic patterns. In the 20s, in the 20s, an anthropologist was discovering this and reporting on them. And that she learned that in the 20th century, all these tattoos disappeared and nobody was doing it anymore. So nobody knows really. I mean, it was Bronze Age tattooing.
Yeah, way back 3,000 years, they were saying.
And they don't have many primary sources with regard to that history.
Okay.
But they do have some Greeks who've written about their tattoos and what they're for. But they are sacred. They're for protection and good health. Anyway, the good news is they're bringing them back. And the old ladies are teaching the young women how it's done. And it's just beautiful that they're bringing this back in with a sense of pride. And it used to be that, you know, the grandmother's hands or great-grandmother's hands were the only place that you would see them and, you know, kind of wrinkly and faded. And now a new generation of historians and artists are discovering the tradition. So now the tattoos that they have, while they are the same symbols, are embellished and they're beautiful art. And I just think with everything that those people have been through.
Amen.
Over there, we're so immune to that it's really quite a wonderful tradition to reinstate. And they're mad about it now.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
No, I don't mean mad. Okay. I mean crazy mad.
Oh, yeah, no, in a good way.
Yeah,
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Wild, maybe that's a different word.
Oh, that's
word.
So
yeah.
Neat.
Yeah, it's called Sikonje.
Yeah, and it's, Sikonje, that's what it's called.
And Susan's looking at a photograph of an artist. I think her name is Oko or Okeo. And hers don't really even look like they're banged in by hand. Those almost look like they're done with a traditional tattoo gun. Maybe they are done in the traditional way, but
I don't know.
Gorgeous.
They during the 15th century, the women took to tattooing the boys as well.
Oh my!
And what that meant was they wanted to protect their whole tribe. And when the boys came home, you know, they would go away for long time, sometimes years, exploring and bringing new people in. And when they got home, their tattoo that was given to them by their grandmother was their form of identification to prove that they belonged to that tribe. Yeah.
Of course. That makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. Did you have some tattoo stuff you wanted to talk about, Heidi? Or
I did. That just does make me think about the fact that right now, all the way through April, mid-April at the Burke, there is an exhibit called Body Language Reawakening Cultural Tattooing of the Pacific Northwest. And it's all about the Coast Tribes traditional tattooing. And actually they have demos, they have displays of the actual tools, these long sticks with these very sharp little needles on them. It just looks really fascinating. The Burke is cool if you've never been.
It's very cool.
I love it.
You know, it's so organized in a really interesting way. Mm-hmm. It makes you think. You have to think to go through it and look at it and appreciate it, I think.
Makes you wonder who's figuring all that out.
Who
are the people behind those great displays?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you mentioned tattoos as well. And last night, I'm sorry we all missed it. Last night, Vashon Repertory Theater did a play reading of a play called Skin, which is about a young Filipino man back, I think, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, who was purchased and used as a freak in freak shows because he was tattooed and given credit for the idea of tattoos among American sailors, that he had something to do with starting this. But I didn't get to go, but I hear the play reading was really outstanding.
Oh, I bet it was.
Yeah.
I'd love
it
to see that.
It might be one
I hope
that
it's
VRT
one...
will stage.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I hope so.
That's so cool.
So on to the next thing. You know, we're getting very near our day of Thanksgiving. And I got curious about sweet potatoes and marshmallows. And how did that happen?
Why did that happen?
Well, why is it still happening?
Let me tell you. Okay, so
let
me tell you about marshmallows. They were, in the mid-19th century in France, considered to be a delicate, wonderful, sought-after dessert. All on its own. High-end confectioners used it and made them, and it was considered a really brilliant skill and something very delicious. And, you know, they were expensive, they were little, it took a long time to make them, and they actually made them out of the mallow plant, which they don't do now. They use gelatin now, I think. But in 1895, the Joseph Demaroth of Rochester, New York, brought marshmallows to the masses. And that was just because he figured out how to use corn syrup or, you know, other...
Horse hoof?
Yes, gelatin horse hoof, yeah. With egg whites and sugar, et cetera. And so he started making them commercially. And then in the late 1800s, they were available to everyone. So how they made their way to the Thanksgiving table is marketing. It's all marketing. And it was in 1901, the New York Times described marshmallow baskets, which put the treats at the center stage as a popular Thanksgiving dessert. So you made a marshmallow basket. But people were beginning to think of marshmallows as not as a standalone sweet, but as an ingredient. And an advertising and sales trade journal is responsible in 1914 to talk about confections on your Thanksgiving table. And that's how it happened. They made cookbooks. They took out ads. There were posters. It was on the radio.
So who were they? They were the marshmallow manufacturers.
Yeah, the Bunte brothers.
The who?
The Bunte, B-U-N-T-E.
Bunte brothers.
Bunte brothers brought marshmallows up to where they are today. And there's evidence to suggest that, you know, sweetening sweet potatoes has always been a thing. People put brown sugar or maple syrup.
I can see that. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honey.
So, yeah. I like a sweet potato with butter, but
I like it with butter and allspice or butter and
nutmeg.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah.
Nutmeg.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And then they made, you know, sweet potato pudding and just all kinds of things with marshmallows. So I just thought it was interesting because I knew somebody once who made marshmallows from scratch.
Wow.
And she made them in a 9x13, and then they sit for a while or whatever they do, I don't know. But she cut them in squares and ate them as squares. They were just, and they were delicious. They weren't anything like the bag of marshmallows you get.
Oh,
now.
Good, because I think it's really an insult to a sweet potato.
Well, can I just say truthfully, since we tell the truth here?
Yes.
I love sweet potatoes and marshmallows.
But you can have all mine.
But you know what? You know what I like is I like the marshmallows burnt, like you do on a campfire. You know.
Oh, I dig that. And but just, not with sweet potatoes.
That's the only way. I like marshmallows that
way. Yeah. Yeah.
Yum.
So you know that kind of leads us right into Thanksgiving.
And
what are you guys doing?
Going
to
play
do a station
underwriting
ID.
Message.
I can tell.
We're doing station identification.
Okay, then.
An underwriter.
This portion of VOV programming is brought to you by Minglement, Vashon Island's natural marketplace for the conscious consumer, where owners, staff, and customers alike embrace the importance of natural, organic, and non-GMO food and products, along with supplements, tinctures, gifts, bulk teas, spices, and herbs. Find them at Center, where the town of Vashon originated.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
And we're back.
And we're back. Hello again. You're listening to The Clatch on KVSH 101.9 in Vashon, Washington.
Woohoo! So we left sweet potatoes and marshmallows in the dust.
Yeah, they're in the dust now.
Yes, we did.
I had true confessions, and now you can...
And so did we.
Now we can judge you.
Now you can judge me all you want.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Is it a big holiday in your world?
It's been a big holiday in my world, but a holiday that my kids come up from Los Angeles to celebrate with us, and my daughter-in-law takes over the kitchen. Ah. But this year, they wanted to avoid the travel mania, so they came up for Halloween, and we called it Thanks-a-ween.
That's so cool. Okay. I love that.
And we had our feast then.
You did? Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
We did.
Great. Right. So what are you doing on the day?
We have friends coming over to cook in our kitchen.
How nice.
Yes.
How nice.
That'd We're just
fun.
Opening up. I'm happy to give my kitchen away to anybody.
That's so cool.
If they want to come and cook. And
that's a great
they're
idea.
They're going to do that.
That's a great idea. You know, so many people are doing different things now. Ah. I think the pandemic had something to do with that, too.
Yeah.
We've sort of changed our priorities and what matters. And, you know, as you've just demonstrated, Susan, it doesn't have to be on the day.
No, it doesn't.
And if you do it a month ahead of time, you can do it again.
Of course. You can do it any time, actually.
Yeah, you can.
At this point, our friends are currently homeless, and we are currently helpless.
Oh.
So it works out very well.
Okay. That
and
does work.
Thus began the perfect union.
Yeah.
I love that.
Right.
Yeah.
What about you, Heidi?
Thanksgiving Day, actually, probably swimming in Puget Sound with the group. Someone initiated one. And my kids aren't coming until Sunday.
Oh.
Because obviously split blended families and they're in their 20s.
Sure.
And that's like Friendsgiving anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
So
let
them do their thing. And then we're going to have the full throwdown, but it's not going to be till Sunday. David's already prepping the menu now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's such an outstanding chef.
Yeah. You're so lucky in that regard.
So just give us the menu. What is David going to
cook? Oh, he's going to kill me. So he's going to brine the turkey with star anise, with a star anise brine. It makes it taste phenomenal.
Oh.
And then we're doing a squash puree, basically like pumpkin puree, with a chanterelle ravioli made from scratch.
Oh my!
And on top, that's like on the top of the soup, and then we're obviously awesome cheese plate and our parsnip mashed potatoes.
Oh yeah, I love parsnip mashed potatoes.
Oh, it's so tasty!
Yeah.
A bunch of different desserts. I think he's going to do a chai tea creme brulee, which he's done in the past. So yummy with those spices, similar to what you would put on your sweet potato. And he made these cookies today that are like peanut butter shortbread dipped in chocolate.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
I know. And he's made stock already. And I mean, it's over the top. It's ridiculous.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if anyone breaks into your kitchen, just check my house.
We'll feed. Yes, we'll feed stragglers for sure.
That's pretty wonderful.
So, got to make my mom sit and eat with us.
Now,
I want to know what Linda's doing.
Yeah, what are you doing, Linda?
I'm going to Seattle to my son's house and his wife, and we're going to have a nice little Thanksgiving with, you know, not a lot of fol-de-rol. We're going to play some games, sit by the fire, and I'm going to spend the night over there on Thanksgiving night and come back on Sunday morning.
Oh, that sounds.
Oh, you're doing the
Sunday.
Whole weekend.
It's not Sunday. No, I mean Friday morning.
Friday feels like Sunday.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, I thought you were going to spend the whole weekend in Seattle. You totally had me thrown.
It would be nice, but no, I've got things I have to do here, as you know.
You're not going to go raid the Black Friday sales.
Oh my
Just
God!
Kidding.
Can you imagine?
That's so not you.
You know, I really Thanksgiving to me is it's a mixed bag, really, and I'll tell you, when I was married the second time, my husband was a Thanksgiving fanatic. He loved it. It was his favorite holiday. And so I cooked and I cooked and I cooked and I cooked Thanksgiving dinner for all those years I was married to him. And when I left, I said, I'm never going to cook another turkey in my life.
Beep turkey?
Yeah, beep turkey.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't. And it's a meal I just really don't like to cook. I just don't. And I think it comes
hard.
From that. You know?
I'll bet so.
Yeah. And so I enjoy the meal. I enjoy the day. I don't have any sort of attachment to Thanksgiving, really. I've spent Thanksgivings alone, and that's been fine. I've eaten mm-hmm. Chinese, and that's mm-hmm. been fine.
Oh, cool.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's going to be really nice to be with my kids and play some games and, you know, the fire and that whole thing. So, and then there are those of our brethren who are not practicing Thanksgiving at all.
Yeah.
I'm speaking mm-hmm. of our Native American friends who mm-hmm. call this day a national day of mourning.
Yeah.
And many tribes throughout the United States take this day and they mourn. They have ceremonies and they have blessings and they have prayers and probably dances and mm-hmm. I'm sure they have food and they celebrate the people who went before them and also mourn everything about where they are now.
Yeah, they said they're really sorry they fed the pilgrims.
Yeah.
I could have saved us a whole lot of trouble.
I know. You know, I love to read the comments when I'm reading newspapers like the New York Times or Washington Post and read the article or read the opinion piece and then go to the comments, because sometimes I read the comments first because they tell me succinctly what's going on in the article.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
It's true. And so what I found this year is a bunch of mixed reviews about Thanksgiving. You know, people were either really wanting to have it or it was like, what a terrible day to pig out and it was just awful. But mostly it was enjoy the day, have some gratitude. If you practice, you know, making turkeys and doing all that, that's fine. And if you don't, just a day of gratitude and friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what it is. I don't have, you know, I can't talk about this because it'll take too long. But after you do some research and some real history about the pilgrims and really who they were, they're not nice people.
They were not nice people.
No. Mm-hmm. And so I have a little difficulty with the little turkeys and the little pilgrim centerpieces. And mm-hmm. I do. But I love the fall foliage too. So
there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. So our one thing that I wanted to say
yes.
about Thanksgiving is if you're going to someone's house for Thanksgiving and they've worked for 3 or 4 days and bought everything. Thank you. And gratitude is really, really important. And I read an article the other day about how thank you notes never appear. And they don't. We either text, gosh, had a great time at your house last night. Or maybe there's an email that says it was really nice because it's a couple paragraphs of thank you. But I don't know. I remember the last thank you note, handwritten thank you note I got, and it was 2 years ago.
That's pretty current.
It is pretty current, but I just want to offer that. It's such a lovely gesture. And think about how you feel when you get a handwritten card in the mail.
Yeah.
And it takes less than 5 minutes. You write the address down. You say, hey, Jane, I loved what you did. It was fabulous. Thank you for including me. And it'll make Jane's day.
Yes.
It's really important. So that source, that's a good place to put your gratitude.
There are, and this is kind of a hybrid thing, but there are e-cards that you can send. There
right.
are a couple of vendors
right.
who do really nice
Jackie
e-cards.
Lawson.
And yeah. And you can write a personal note.
But it's still not the same.
No, it's not the handwritten note, but it does save paper.
Susan. Yes, it does save paper, that's for sure.
We had a boss at Precept Wine, and he insisted on us writing thank you notes. And He also wanted your like top 50 list of influencers in the wine industry so that he could write them thank you notes. And of course, it was like some intern and faking his signature.
It usually is.
I probably shouldn't have outed him. Anyway.
You won't be working for that client anymore.
It's your last show, Heidi.
Yeah. You start listening. But yeah, it does go a long way and people are very touched by it. It's instilled a good habit. At home, I have a lot of thank you notes. Mm-hmm. And I like to buy them. I like to buy funny ones.
I like them too. I don't do the thank you notes so much as I find a nice card with a blank inside. Mm-hmm. And that's my thank you file. And I'm not diligent about it every single time I need to do it, but I do like to write them.
Another fun sidebar is going onto stamps.com and picking out really cool stamps.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I love stamps.
Yeah. I do too.
It's true. And in my own defense, I do send handwritten thank you cards.
Boom. Of course you do.
Sometimes. Yay for you.
Sometimes.
When I remember.
Asterisk. Yeah.
Caveat.
Totally.
Thanksgiving, as you know, is the busiest travel season of the year.
Yeah.
And for that reason alone, I would never go anywhere. I would never go to the airport.
The things I'm hearing about the airport, don't even think about trying to park your car there when you go somewhere or when you're leaving.
Yeah.
And better to either take public transportation to get to your flight or get somebody to drop you off. But getting somebody to drop you off could make you late for your plane because you're going to be in line for a long time.
In the car line.
Yeah. In the car line.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Even the park and ride over there by the airport would probably be the best place to drop somebody off so they can just walk in the breezeways.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That's a good idea.
God, it's not
good. I think it would take the joy out of travel because, especially at this time, most people are going somewhere from Wednesday to Sunday or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's only a few days of complete pandemonium. Mm-hmm. And then you get back on the plane for more pandemonium.
Those 4 days are spent traveling.
Exactly. Yeah.
And being in airports and getting to airports. Yeah.
No, I'd rather.
You really sold it.
we're not doing that.
You want me to? Can I stop now?
Go on.
Yeah. But, you know, we like to talk about travel on this show.
Yes.
And we're all three avid travelers.
Yes.
When we can afford it and when we can go and when the time is right, when the water's right for Heidi. So I thought maybe today we could talk about some of that, things that we've done or things that we've learned. You know, you don't have to travel to travel.
No.
There are a lot of ways to travel. We'll talk about that in a minute, but
I'd like to hear more about Costa Rica.
Yeah, I would too. And what I loved is that we Zoomed with you from Costa Rica. So I felt a little bit like I got there a little bit. I got to see the water. Uh-huh. I saw some plants.
Yeah.
And it just kind of felt like, oh, that's nice. Now I was part of that too. So that's another way you can travel without traveling.
I love Travel Man on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole several seasons, and he brings along some British celebrity every time. It's Richard Ayoade, and he's this adorable he's part Norwegian and part Nigerian, I think.
Oh.
He's a Nigerian dad and a Norwegian mom, and he's just this beautiful man.
Uh-huh.
And he's funny and nerdy. He wears these big Buddy Holly glasses, and he has this big crazy fringe and smart dresser.
And it's called what? I'm sorry.
Travel Man.
Travel Man.
He's got a lot of anxiety, and he might be on the spectrum, but he's so great. Anyway, that's a great armchair traveling series if you want to just go see Europe and stuff. But yeah, Costa Rica was great. Hot, tons of rain, washed out roads. And the second week, there was a lot of sun and great waves for David to surf on. And we had a super good time.
Were you particularly affected by the water over the roads? Did you get flooded? Mm-hmm. Did you have to stay home because of it? Or
we had to wait for the rivers to recede.
Mm-hmm.
We had dinner one night with my former Vashon neighbors. They have a house down there. And we timed it. And then it was like, it's not going to be on time because they know, though, because just going into their development, is also a river that floods out, which the day prior we had to wait for that river to recede. Well, this is a different river. But yeah, every time I was looking on Waze, W-A-Z-E app.
That's such a good app.
Oh, it's even there.
I love that app.
They have all the shortcuts and stuff on that app. But you could see the Rios. And every time there was a Rio, I was getting gripped with anxiety going, oh, crap, there's another Rio coming up. I hope it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was one where some other guy who had a motorcycle had a big stick, S-T-I-C-K. and he was poking into the river to show us what the depths were.
Oh, great.
It was really cool. It was a great
thing. Well, yeah, because like you said, Susan, earlier, sometimes you don't know how deep that water is.
No, you don't know how deep it's going
to
go.
I had that happen.
It's going to go.
I had that happen in Guatemala. it was a scary situation.
Eeks.
We made it.
Yeah.
Across the river, you know, but we didn't really know.
But the roads are kind of like suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're not exactly roads.
We wouldn't call them roads here.
No. A lot of them are dry river beds.
And then when the rain hits, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, watch out. But I have dreamt, this is my fourth trip to Costa Rica over the course of 12 years. It's been eight since we went back last, and it's been a while, but the roads are crap. I've dreamt about being a digital nomad, and now they even have this program where if you can prove that you're making $3,000 a month and you have that income reliably coming in, or a contract for a year that shows you're making that, you can get kind of like a semi-permanent resident status.
Wow.
Which before it was like 90 days, fly away, come back 90 days.
What, in Costa Rica?
In Costa Rica.
Really? Mm-hmm. A lot of Americans are moving down
there.
Yes. We actually thought about moving down
there. Yes. I mean, we did too, but When I really kind of looked at everything and the roads and, and the medical, and I was like, is my dollar really going to go that much further? And do I really want to be in this super hot place?
In July?
No.
You know, what occurred to me, including all those things, was we would never be part of the community. We would always be expats.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And are we just a walking wallet?
Right. With bad tans.
You know, that's
drinking on the beach.
Interesting point. Excuse me. Because a friend of mine the other day was talking about that very thing. We were talking about racism and bigotry in a different country where she lives now.
Oh.
And she said, I said, how is it over there? I mean, is it blatant? And she said, you know, I think every place has racism and bigotry. And she said, I especially feel it now because I'm an expat. And so she'll never be part of that place that she's chosen to live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily racism, like we think of racism, but it is kind of, because it's a, that we're
it's
a different.
Not about race, but it is an ism.
It is an
other.
Ism.
It's like otherism.
Yeah. It's otherism. Yeah, there you go. That's
is
a
it an
one.
English speaking country?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. Interesting, huh?
Well, yeah, you know, I've been so upset with the politics in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dreaming about getting my Irish citizenship
because
I thought I could, right? I thought my grandparents were born in Ireland all my life. That was the legend in our family, that my father's parents had emigrated from Ireland.
How long did it take to make that determination if they were or not? Were or were not?
I got on Ancestry.com and found out that my lovely Irish grandparents were born in Kentucky.
What a disappointment.
Oh, man.
What a disappointment.
Yeah. So I suppose I could emigrate to Kentucky and be a Mitch McConnell.
But that would be fun. That would be really exciting. I can see you there, Susan. I can
see you there. Nope.
I can see me there, yeah.
I'm kidding.
I see you running
screaming,
from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, screaming. Yeah.
That's pretty funny, though. Darn it. So nobody else? Don't you wish you could just do it by blood? Like, just take my blood. Don't I seem like I can fit in?
Yeah, really. I'm a really nice person. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm a really nice person.
But I'm a really nice person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so Heidi, did you learn anything? Did you bring some stuff home with you? Or what, how did you, how does it rest with you now, this trip?
It really quelled that digital nomad urge that I had previously, where I was like, I could do this. You know, I think there, at one point I bought a book called Living Abroad in Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
I know I did because it's on my bookshelf.
Uh-huh.
But now I just, all that stuff just kind of falls to the wayside. And I think I have a good thing going and a nice house and a renter and it's steady.
And good work.
And a lot of good work. Mm-hmm. I could take the work, but honestly don't think I'd want to do the work if I was down there. I would just want to be outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so just for all those reasons, that's what sat with me the most. It's like, there's no place like home. You can always save your money, get on a flight, go do some visiting, and then come back.
You know, I found that so true when I recently came back. It was, I was ready to come home. Not that I was tired of being there, but it was time to come home. And it felt really good to get home. And then to delineate all the experiences, the feelings, the smells, the things that you experienced sort of tend to stay with you for a while. At least for me, when I got home, I just felt that was really good. I really needed that. It woke me up. It put me to sleep. It did all the things I needed done. And I could literally feel, the third day I was there, I could literally feel the stress releasing from my shoulders. Mm. I felt it. It was a physical thing.
Wow.
And, you know, I hope people can do that. I also understand not everybody can afford to travel.
Right.
You know,
right.
I hadn't been to Europe for 20 years. So it was a big trip for me. But there are ways to travel without traveling. You have any ideas in that regard?
You mean like big time travel?
Well, you know, like reading a book or watching
Oh, there are plenty of books that can take you to new worlds.
Well, I'm asking about your, you know, do you have any that...
Oh, personally, do I know of any?
I mean, there was one called Changes in Latitude a long time ago that I read, and it's this woman who just decides she's going to get on a sailboat, and she goes to Fiji, and she meets a Fijian, and they get down, and they fall in love, and she ends up, like, marrying him there and staying there,
wow.
and talks about, like, the kava being passed around, and mm-hmm. that definitely transported me to her life, and it didn't sound enviable necessarily. It wasn't romantic to me, but it was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good.
I think the book Eat, Pray, Love had some mm-hmm. of that.
Yeah,
it did.
Some of that really take mm-hmm. you to another world.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
I liked the part where she was challenging the cafe owner who kept asking for more and more money. And she's like, called her out on her. She's like, I think you're a BS. In the book. It wasn't really in the movie, I think, as much, and the cafe owner was taken aback, and it was somewhere like Bali or Indonesia, and she's like, I'm not. And she ended up proving that she wasn't. Anyway, stuck with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was great, though.
I think one of my favorite books for travel, like out of this world travel, is West with the Night.
What's that?
It's Beryl Markham, B-E-R-Y-L, Markham. And she was in the 1930s, the first woman bush pilot in Kenya.
Oh, cool.
And she was, you know the movie Out of Africa?
Oh, I love that movie.
Well, she was in that era. And she was a competitor of the woman who was in love with Robert Redford, whatever his name was, in real, you know,
right.
Isaac Dinesen. So she was a rival of Isaac Dinesen's.
Oh.
And this book talks about her childhood and what it was like to walk around Kenya and see the tiger. And sometimes the tiger would just come up, you know, she'd see the wildlife and all the descriptions and the people, the different ways they dress, the different ways they talk, the different cultures of all the different tribes. Mm. And she talks all the way through to the end of her experiment of learning to be a bush pilot. And you can imagine the machismo she ran into down there.
Yeah.
She had a couple terrible wrecks. And she also, I think, I have to look this up here, but she, in 1936, attempted to be the first solo, nonstop east-to-west flight across the Atlantic Ocean. And she just pretty much knew that she could do it, but she crash-landed on Cape Breton. But, you know, she still went into the record books. So that's a book that will literally transport you into a different time and a different place. And after you read it, you'll feel like you went there.
I love that.
Yeah, it's so personal.
And that's really about good writing.
It's really good writing.
Somebody who can transport
you
to another place.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Through the years, have found a lot of... I've learned a lot about reading other people's adventures and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know about Gellhorn and Hemingway? Margaret Gellhorn?
No, tell us about Margaret
Martha.
Gellhorn. Martha.
Oh,
Gellhorn.
Martha.
Yeah, okay. Martha was his, I don't know, fourth wife or something. I don't know. But she wrote a book called Travels with Myself and Another. And it's really... it's
an unnamed other?
An unnamed other, yeah. And it's really about as much about their relationship as it is about the destinations. But she's writing horror stories of traveling with him.
Oh.
And where they went and what they did. Terrifying flights and, you know, insects in the hotel rooms and that kind of thing. And she never really... He never really wrote like that. Like she did, and she was writing the truth. It's a pretty transportive book.
That's cool.
So I would recommend that one, too. And then I think there's one more I wanted to talk about a little bit. Maybe not. No, just those two right now.
So there's this woman who owns a bookstore in Vallejo that's Linda's friend and my friend.
Oh, Karen.
And I'll be ordering this book from her.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
What, the Martha one?
Yeah.
Yeah. You should order West with the Night, too. Mm. It's you will love
Travels
that book.
Travels with Me and Another?
Travels with Myself and Another by Martha Gellhorn, Gellhorn.
Okay.
And I did see a photography book that kind of, I mean, not like words, but the photographs took me to a different place. And it's called, I can't remember what it's called. I'll find it in a minute.
You read too much.
I know. I've been reading right. too much. But it's in the Maldives and Indonesia, Ooh. And there's a lot of water and snakes and all kinds of wonderful photographs.
Yeah, you know, I see photos like that, and I want to
you
be
wanna go.
There.
I
want
know.
To go.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And when they're really well done, you feel like you're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for
you do.
A heartbeat.
I think, you know, there's also videos.
Yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, you know
definitely.
The YouTube guy, and
yes.
That sounds like a...
Those two.
Yeah, interesting, interesting. So do you have any other sort of how can we travel? What about locally? How can we travel here without traveling?
There are some great places to travel off-island,
mm-hmm.
And the first one that comes to mind is Roslyn.
Yeah.
Which is where that great TV series used to be
from. Northwest Passages.
Northwest Passages, right.
So fun.
Yeah. And that, it's pretty country. It's a cute little place.
Mm.
Nice day trip.
I haven't been there.
There's also all the stuff up north and on the coast.
Mm-hmm. Like the farthest point west.
Correct.
In the United States is right here. Mm-hmm. It's a windy road.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is it? Is it the Nea Bay area?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Mm-hmm. That's
I
really
went
nice.
To camp at, it's on the Macaw Reservation, Hobuck. Really cool.
Is it?
Yeah, that's a great one to
so,
do.
Yeah, that's kind of time out of time travel too, because it's so different.
Is kind of, it is like a different time.
And you're in the rainforest.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and the rainforest itself is a wonderful trip.
Lake Quinault Lodge, that's a cool place. And lots of mushroom foraging.
Yes.
What's the name of it?
The Lake Quinault.
Oh, Lake Quinault. Oh, yeah. And it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Neat. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Beautiful. And then locally in Renton.
Renton?
Dun-dun-dun. Really and truly in Renton on the shores of Lake Washington is a hotel. It's a Hyatt property and it's called the Hyatt Regency Lake Washington. The rates are cheap.
Really?
It's like $170 a night for a beautiful room in a pretty new hotel. It's a 6-year-old hotel and it's really awesome. Seriously, it sort of transports you. You don't even recognize that you're anywhere near Renton, and it's right next to Jean Coulon Park. So you can walk the park, and at this time of year, that park is stunning with fall colors.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
So that's a good one.
So are you saying you, as just an overnight getaway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
They have a good restaurant there, too.
Well, that's nice to know, too.
Well, and there are great museums in Seattle. The Pacific Science Center is so cool.
Isn't it?
Oh, they've got the butterfly room, and they've got the... planetarium, which literally takes you to other worlds.
Yeah,
I tried to find that with my kids. I swear to God, I could not figure out how to get to the IMAX.
Oh.
Seriously. It's where they have the movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have to walk out and it's in the complex sort of adjacent to it, but I still don't know
Couldn't
where it is.
It.
No. There's a take me there.
A place in Tacoma that I have not attended. My friend Pam did, and it was a virtual reality.
Oh, really?
Oh, if you've never done virtual reality, find one. It is so fun.
Is this a place?
I can't even remember what it was called, and it's probably done.
Oh, so it was a thing. It was an event.
But there probably are other virtual reality events happening in the Seattle Tacoma area, and if you can get to one, it really is.
There's a little.
That's a great idea.
Beam me up thing to do.
Uh huh.
A little more.
The only time I've done it is with my kids in Los Angeles, and we did a Men in Black virtual reality.
Oh, and how fun!
I actually almost fell over. Because I thought I fell off my motorcycle.
I see. I think that would be really fun. I've never done it.
Oh, it's
I'm
great.
Ready to try
it's really
it.
Cool.
Yeah. So, speaking of traveling locally, how about Koreatown in
Tacoma? Yeah.
Susan and I have a mutual friend who told us about one day she said, I'm sick of sitting around. We're going to Korea.
Yeah.
Remember? And she took us in her car and we went. I didn't know this at all, but it's in Lakewood. And there's a Korean spa there. I think you know that.
Oh, yes. Olympus. The Olympic spa.
We did not attend that day, but we went and had an incredible Korean lunch, beautiful lunch. And we had Korean shopping. We went to, it's not an H Mart, it's something else there. And we went shopping there and got all kinds of interesting vegetables that we don't understand or know what to do with till we get home.
That's right. What's
but
this?
They're sure pretty. So that to me was like a time out of time. Bless you, Heidi.
Thank you.
Yeah. That was a time out of time too. And different languages were spoken there. Different colors of people were there.
Yeah, isn't that nice? That's unusual for Vashonians.
Yeah. And so it was just sort of a getaway. Sometimes Vashonians tend to just stay on the island. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I like to be on the island. But occasionally, it's pretty good to get off and go do something else.
Yum. The food alone compels.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I had never had Korean fried chicken. And I don't even like fried chicken. I never eat it. But oh man, it was good. I don't know what they do. They do it very differently from.
Well,
anything I've ever
such
had.
Great spicy food among the Koreans.
Yes.
Yeah, they're very good at that.
That was really fun, and that's a way to get out of town without.
Well, and there's the Central District in Seattle.
Yes,
absolutely.
Which is
yeah,
a number of different Asian communities.
Yeah,
and it's big.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know, I
dim sum.
What?
Harbor City Dim Sum.
Dim Sum, yeah.
Oh,
that's
dim
my favorite place for dim sum.
Mm-hmm. And hot pot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's all of it. Like, well, now I'm too hungry.
You know?
Yeah,
no,
I'm getting really hungry.
And speaking of food.
It always goes to food, doesn't it?
It always
goes to food.
It's okay.
Well, we always do. Every conversation we ever have is food. Somehow food goes
why.
In there. Well, it's not just me. But I do have another food tidbit.
What is it?
You know, a good idea, I think. I did this once, and it was really, really fun. I did a themed dinner party, like 8 or 10 people, and everybody gets a dish from the assigned country.
Oh, fun.
Then they bring it, and you read up on the country, and you learn things about the country, and then that's what we discuss that night, is things that we learned. We sit around, have some wine, eat some fabulous food from wherever, Nepal or whatever it is at that time, and then teach each other what we learned.
That's like traveling.
It is
That's
like
a
traveling.
Great way to travel.
Yeah.
A country themed
dinner.
Meal.
Yeah.
Dinner.
Or breakfast or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, whatever you want to do.
If you can't stay up so late for dinner anymore, then yeah. Since it's dark at 3
it's dark
o'clock
at
in the afternoon.
Yeah. I'm usually ready for bed by 6.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I walk around the house thinking, all right, what can I do for the next 3 hours?
Yeah.
How can I stay awake?
I know. Any other ideas or anything that you guys do or would like to do instead of actually get on a plane?
I'd really like to get on a plane.
I would too. I would too. But what if we can't? Let's pretend we can't.
Yes, I want to go somewhere. But
okay,
yeah.
But we can't today.
But we can't.
Making stuff. I had a really fun time just this past weekend at Aggie's Farm. Zena McCoy did a wreath making session.
Oh, the wreath thing.
And they were, she did not spare any material. This woman grows everything on her property. And there were like three kinds of eucalyptus, you know, the round ones and then the long sword-like leaves and some that had blossom, like they were in bloom. So they had some little yellow feature on them and just all kinds of greenery. And she just had it really organized. She wove the grapevine base that you start out with.
Wow.
So you didn't have to deal with that. And it wasn't like the cheesy wire stuff
at all. It wasn't the wire thing.
So she had spools of wire at each table, and there was probably a dozen of us. She also had a fine array of cheeses and champagne and juice. So you could DIY a mimosa.
Sure.
That wasn't even mentioned in the wreath promo. I showed up and I was like, okay, it's 10 o'clock in the morning and we are going to get started here. And she just said, bring some snippers and you're going to go off and do your thing. Here's how you do the bundles. I recommend, you know, X number of bundles for this big or this big. Mm-hmm. And she just kind of turned you loose. And then she would just come around and check on everybody. But that was such a great experience because it, you know, you can use your creativity. It's very non-judgmental. Everyone's so focused on their own wreath anyway. There were some people who were like, yours looks so good and mine looks terrible.
Yeah, that's our culture.
You know, I know, self-deprecating.
Compare.
And that too.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be really fun. And I have it on my door and it just felt good. I just feel like there's a part of me that wishes I was a costume designer and just could create. I just love making things and creating things.
And you know what's bringing to my mind right now, this is bringing the idea of women
That's
sitting in a circle,
yeah,
making something, doing something, and you're away. You're away from everything.
Yeah.
And it's a mini travel, I think.
You know, that reminds me of a trip that I took several years ago to Africa. Pam Ingalls and I went, and we went to a village of Maasai women.
You did?
Yes. And they did not speak English, and we did not speak Maasai, but we all sat under this gigantic tree making beads. And we managed to converse about husbands and children. There were little kids running around.
Oh, wow.
One little boy thought it would be really cute to send the herd of baby goats into into our clatch of women.
Uh-huh.
It was fabulous.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, in the circle of women.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
We come for a full circle, I think, because we were talking about women in the beginning as well and their tattoos and the camaraderie of generations.
Yeah. You know. And the wreath thing just happened to be all women. I mean, it didn't say vaginas only. You know, it just, that we all just
dicks with a little line through it.
Basically, yeah, none of that. It just turned out to be that way.
So we should look on your Facebook page for a photo of your wreath.
On my Instagram, yes, you
okay.
may.
Check Heidi's Instagram page for a photo of her wreath.
I got to get on Instagram. You know, I need to.
It's really fun.
I know.
I like it.
Everyone tells me that.
It just makes it, it's just pictorial, you know,
mm-hmm.
less narrative. And it's a lot more difficult to be a troll.
Is it?
Is that true? The comments. I think it is. Yeah, it is.
We have 1 minute left, and I want to. Speaking of that, trolls.
Yes.
So what about what about Elon Musk?
Oh, I know baby.
Way off track.
I'm going to stay on Twitter, but I am annoyed that I have to see his tweets because I don't know what they did or how he rigged it. But now when he tweets, it's like
everybody
it just
has
shows
to
up
see
on
it.
Your feed. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
That's not cool. I don't need that.
Yeah, the whole
I've
thing.
Never been a Twitter person.
Me neither.
I have an account, but I canceled it because I wasn't using it anyway.
Oh.
I joined and I was on it for 4 days and I was so overwhelmed.
Oh, really?
It was like too much information, too many people, too much time.
Yeah.
I can't do this. Oh my God, now what? You know, that kind of stuff. And so I guess I'm still a member, but I don't use it.
See, I'm more addicted to that than any of the social media.
But you find it helpful for business as well.
Headlines.
Yes.
Today, a client was mentioned in a Seattle Met tweet. And
really?
I was like, sent it to the client and said, hey, You're in here. This was a story that ran last week, but it looks like they've reinvigorated it through mm-hmm. Twitter. So enjoy the coverage.
Huh. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So it's useful good. That way.
Well, Heidi.
Yes, friend.
We have to say goodbye. And I'm really, I'm not going to cry.
I'll be back because I'm popping in randomly randomly.
But you know, it's still going to be different without you. I think we're going to have a pretty wonderful program, but we will miss you terribly.
Thank you, guys.
And I would like to issue the invitation.
Thank you.
If you happen to be driving around and you see us here, you're welcome to just knock on the door and come on in. It's a Klatch, after all, you know?
That's right.
Everybody's welcome.
I'll come, Klatch.
Yeah.
It's been almost 2 years.
I know.
Has it really?
February.
Yeah. Wow.
In February, it's 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty close. So I feel like it's been a good run.
It has been a good run.
It's been a great run.
It really has. Yeah. And now we're just going to change a little bit, and and we'll be fine without you, but we will miss you terribly. And I wish you the best of luck on all your endeavors.
Thank you. It's mostly work.
I know. I know, but that's a really magical thing that you've created for yourself, Heidi.
It is.
Thanks,
and
Linda.
I know that it takes a lot of effort, and I know that you're going to miss us too.
I am going to miss you both, and I'm going to be able to tune in now from the office.
Yeah, you can do that.
Oh, you can critique.
Oh, I'm not like that. All right, guys.
Okay, guys,
you're listening to KVSH LP Vashon.
Oh, Heidi.
You like that?
Oh,
watch me shimmy.
Hey, girl. Whoa, she's taking it seriously. Oh, my God.
Yes, they're
bye bye.
They're really mine.
Bye bye, everybody.